hormone replacement therapies to treat menopause symptoms for women will not have warning labels on them anymore. Let's get more on that from Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, who works with the World Health Organization, among others. Dr. Marty, a lot of people talking about this. What's behind the decision by the FDA?
Behind the decision by the FDA is politics, not science. The panel of individuals that were convened to make the decision did not include any experts in the field, no physicians, no endocrinologists, none of the people that could really explain why and when these changes are or are not appropriate. And by that, I mean the fact that we can give estrogen, and that's really what this is about, in various ways, right? One way is topically, usually in the vaginal area, right? That is not a risk. That does not deserve a black box type of warning because it doesn't spread throughout the body. We call that systemic spread. So as far as that's concerned, yay, good. They should get rid of that. But when you take these drugs systemically, whether it's orally or by a patch whose intent is then to get into the bloodstream or, you know, even by injection, all those other ways so that it goes throughout the body do have very significant risks, especially in postmenopausal women, especially in women over 60, where the risk for breast cancer, the risk for dementia, the risk for cardiovascular disease because of making little clots, right? So thromboemboli, so you can have strokes and you can have heart disease, et cetera, are really high. For that use, you need that black box labeling so that whenever I give a medication to a patient, I don't just say, oh, this is great for this. That's only half the story. The other half of the story is all the things that can go wrong if it's taken too long, if it's taken in higher dose, if it's, depending on your underlying conditions, blah, blah, blah. When you remove that black box warning, you're no longer giving consent, informed consent of a medication. And that's what you have to do. You've got to be able to provide informed consent.
About 20 years ago, clinical trials suggested increased risks, but the FDA says newer research shows those findings don't reflect current hormone therapy formulations, and many doctors do support removing the warnings based on studies. You disagree, I'm hearing.
No, it's, again, it's apples and oranges here. We're talking about very different things. Sure, topical, like in vaginal area application, absolutely. Those studies say not a problem. This is safe. But even the most recent studies show very clearly that there is an increased risk of breast cancer and cardiovascular damage. And the evidence is a little less strong for the dementia, but it's for that too, of people over 60. So the people that made this decision are not the people that are qualified to make this decision. So it's like everything else, Bob, things that you consume in different ways have different impacts by the way in which you consume them or the way they get into your body. Mm-hmm. The same pathogens that are, for example, in your GI tract, fat, dumb, and happy, not causing you any trouble, if you get them inside a wound, can be extraordinarily serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it really does matter how you give that estrogen. And that's what they're not making clear to the public. And that's where you need that nuanced understanding to make the right policy decision. So it's, ultimately it's half right, right? It's right for topical, but it's wrong for every other way in which we give estrogens.
Appreciate you clearing that up. A lot of people talking about that this week. One more thing I wanted to ask you about in the couple minutes we have left, and that's chemicals affecting our bodies. And we're hearing more about Parkinson's lately, and some doctors say pollutants may be increasing the risk of Parkinson's. Have you had a chance to look into this?
Yeah, Bob, there's a lot of excellent data. In fact, I'll put a little plug in for my nephew who works on Parkinson's disease at Georgetown. And he's actually studied the effects of these various chemicals. And they were talking, I think the article you're referring to was about perchloroethylene and trichloroethylene, which traditionally have been used in dry cleaning. Luckily, the trichloroethylene has been banned for most use right now. But perchloroethylene isn't scheduled to be banned until 2035 for economic reasons, not for the appropriate science. So again, you know, we're not basing things on the scientific evidence. The scientific evidence is extremely clear that these types of chemicals absolutely damage mitochondria, which have spillover effects on a protein that's at the end of our neurons that's called alpha-synuclein, that then bundles up into these really nasty little shapes. They change their shape into this beta-pleated sheet that actually then causes very specific types of damage, and it's sort of a chain effect, right? It's sort of a back and forth feed effect, so that the more, you know, the alpha-synuclein aggravates what the chemicals already did. And yes, you're also correct that air pollution and some of these small particles from air pollution, like what we call PM2.5s and PM10s, where there are particular matters that are very small, matters, they can affect very, very much how much inflammation there is in the brain. And again, my nephew is working specifically on microglial cells and how they get all out of whack, and how that leads to the problem with the dopaminergic neurons that are affected very strongly in Parkinson's disease. So absolutely. And listen, by the way, a lot of the chemicals, some of the chemicals that are used as pesticides. So if you live near a golf course, people in golf courses have a huge increased risk of Parkinson's disease. And if you go golfing every day, think about it.
Yeah, I have another reason not to golf. And I have my excuse for not taking our clothes to the dry cleaners today. Thanks to Dr. Eileen Marty. Appreciate it, as always. Talk to you next week.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.